In our first reading today, Ezra, the priest scribe, reads God's law to the people. And it appears that the people are so moved by the beauty of God's law that they begin to weep. We read in the Bible a description of God's law. God's law is perfect, refreshing, trustworthy, right, clear, a cause for rejoicing, true, just, and life-giving. Life-giving. If only our human laws were as beautiful. You know that on Friday, we marked the 43rd anniversary of a law that is anything but life-giving. It was a law handed down by our own Supreme Court in the Roe versus Wade decision, which made abortion legal in this country at any time during pregnancy and for any reason whatsoever. This law has resulted in over 57 million deaths of defenseless Americans. 57 million alone in our country. Imagine what's going on in France. Over 3,000 American babies every day, day in and day out, are aborted. The human womb is a dangerous place to be in our country. A study in New York City shows that the abortion rate there is over 40%. And over 60% for black children. If you are a black baby in the womb in New York City, the chances are that you will not have a birthday. It's unreal. Abortion, like slavery, is not just a religious issue. It's a human rights issue. It's a philosophical discussion. What would these 57 million Americans be doing today, ranging in the ages of one day to 43 years of age? They deserve a chance. Ronald Reagan said, "It seems to me that all who favor abortion have already been born." People deserve to be born. We are in a political year, my dear people. I wish it was over. You wish it was over. We have a lot ahead of us. That's why I listen more and more to the spa music channel. For you young people, the spa music channel is what old people listen to relax. And you'll get there one day. You'll get there. We're about to hear from a political party about the war on women. I'm sure that's about to come around again. Let's talk about the war on women. Since 1973, almost 30 million baby girls have been cut out of their mother's womb. 30 million baby girls who have no chance to become a woman. That's more than 30 times our state's population. 30 million baby girls alone. That does make ISIS look like the JV. And we're afraid of ISIS? Besides, the fact of the matter is, more women are pro-life than men because they are mothers. But abortion also affects mothers. Saint Pope John Paul II said that it is women who pay the highest price, not only for their motherhood, but even more for its destruction. It destroys motherhood, indeed. So abortion now is called by some in our country to be a necessary evil. It is not a necessary evil, it is evil. And it has affected us in ways we don't know. Abortion has led to an erosion of our entire country's respect for life. We now see an increased acceptance of assisted suicide for the elderly or the sick, or if you're unproductive and costing money. Imagine having that paranoia as an old man or an old woman. A society that allows parents to kill children will allow children to kill parents. It's inevitable. Abortion has led to an acceptance of experimentation on live human embryos. It has promoted irresponsibility in the sexual act. It weakens families. And most recently, we heard of Planned Parenthood's trafficking, these grisly descriptions of their trafficking of baby body parts. It was largely ignored, wasn't it, by a lot of the liberal press. Cecil the Lion. There was more outrage about Cecil the Lion. Remember Cecil the Lion killed by the Minnesota dentist? There was more outrage about Cecil the Lion than about the illegal. By the way, it's a violation of federal law. I don't think anybody was charged. More outrage about Cecil the Lion than the trafficking of baby body parts so that the employees can buy their sports cars. Dreadful. What have we become? Well, I'll tell you what we become is we're still funding them. You and I. $500 million with the B. Our tax dollars support Planned Parenthood to the tune of $500 million a year. So in the midst of all of this, we need to remind ourselves, our dear people, my dear people, that our church is pro-life, and we often stand alone. The last 7 years have been tough. The pro-life movement has become disenfranchised, I know. And I know it's easy to just say, after we fight, after we pray, after we do what we can do, I know it's so easy to just say, you know, what difference does it make? What difference does it make? I'm tired. But we must move on. We must continue. And we often do it alone. Today's gospel gives us encouragement. Listen, how the Spirit of God moved Jesus to the synagogue where he stood alone. He stood and read from the prophet Isaiah to announce the beginning of his missionary work. Again and again, our Lord was alone. He stood alone at the beginning of his public ministry when few followed him, including a traitor. He stood alone before Pilate and Herod. He was alone, hanging on the cross, dying for us. His hometown rejected him. Citizens tried to throw him over a hill to kill him. But Jesus continued to preach the word of God. He continued to preach the beauty of God's law, often alone. We're challenged to do the same, to stand with our Lord to promote the beauty of God's law and to fight against unjust human laws. And I'll tell you right now, it's not easy. But we will never tire. On Monday, while I was working at the diocese, I walked over to the cathedral and I visited with and blessed the group of our students who were on their way to a memorable trip of a lifetime. 41 students from Trinity High School went and represented us at the National March for Life in the District of Columbia. Rain, snow, or shine, these young people are inspiring. And if this will ever be turned around, it will be because of young people. An encouraging fact is that younger Americans are more pro-life than older Americans. And that is why the abortion rates have dropped to the lowest level since 1973, because of young people, although there are still well over 1 million abortions each year. The bishop said this to the group of 41 students, tapping his chest the way I am right now. The bishop said to the students, "It's my generation that failed." And he talked about how they are a hopeful generation. Indeed, indeed. And so that brings us encouragement. We ought not be discouraged that abortion is still legal after 43 years. I know we feel like we've been wandering in the desert for a long time, but we will reach our goal because our Lord promised that good will triumph over evil, and the light will shine in the darkness. I want to leave you with this thought. If you remember anything, remember this thought. I was amazed. I mean, this homily is 15 minutes long. I couldn't believe how long I preached at 7:30. I mean, the people were leaving Mass, just they looked worn out. My New Year's resolution was to preach longer. I'm still doing mine. Are you doing yours? I want to leave you with this thought because it's profound. Cardinal O'Malley quoted Austin Everett. He quoted Austin Everett to remind us how the voices of victims will eventually be heard. The voices of victims inevitably come to be heard. Eventually, there is the revelation of the humanity of the victim. Just as the voice of the slave was heard, and the voice of the foreigner, the battered wife, the disabled, and the child abuse victim, as their voices have all eventually been heard, so eventually will the voice of the voiceless, the unborn. And I add, these unborn children, the voiceless, still love their mothers. Amen.